Hello again. This is Reverend Lindsay, and I'm so glad you're here for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for May 31st, 2020, the day of Pentecost. It's the day we celebrate the birth of the church in a way, with the giving of the Holy Spirit. But what is the Holy Spirit? How would you describe the Spirit? Here's how our confirmands recently described the Spirit when they were asked to write personal statements of faith. Miranda wrote, "The Holy Spirit is what keeps you going when you are doubtful and what lets you know that you are loved." Danny said, "The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. It is a way of hearing and feeling God." Well, no wonder Session was so impressed with these young people. Now, you could say the Spirit is our advocate, our counselor, our comforter. It is the Spirit of Christ with us. The Spirit is also our encourager. Our giver of courage, that is, and our inspirer. Now, the book of Acts says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Well, we're not. And I'm struck by the fact that in the Bible, the Spirit is often bestowed upon people when they are in community, even if they are behind locked doors, as in John. But we are not in physical community, haven't been for a while, and I don't know when we will be again. So I'm thinking today of our passage from the book of Numbers, and of the passage from Isaiah, which Jesus quotes in Luke, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners." What does it mean when God's Spirit comes upon us? When the Spirit was so lavishly dispersed in Numbers, some clearly thought too lavishly, Moses said, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Now, I don't think Moses was being snarky. I think he meant it. I think it was a prayer and a prophecy repeated by Peter in Acts as he quoted the prophet Joel. "In the last days it will be," God declares, "that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And maybe I should have made this clear earlier, but prophecy in the biblical understanding isn't about fortune telling, about predicting the future. It's about truth telling, about holding up a mirror to society in order to bring about change, movement at least, towards the fulfillment of God's shalom. So what do biblical prophets sound like? Here's a short selection. Amos cried, "Hear this, you who trample the needy and destroy the poor of the land." Isaiah urged, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." Jeremiah proclaimed, "Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbors work for nothing and does not give them their wages." Ezekiel called out, Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. Nothing about homosexuality, you notice. Micah said simply, God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And Zechariah adds, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor. And do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Seems pretty clear and pretty simple, really. I think we are all called to be prophets, like the 70 elders upon whom God's Spirit rested, like Eldad and Medad. God sent the Spirit, I think, not because Moses needed a break, but because it takes a village, it takes a community to prophesy, to call for, to demand justice and God's shalom. Now, that doesn't mean we are all supposed to be or even have the ability to be an Amos or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Dr. Martin Luther King or the Reverend Liz Theo Harris and William J. Barber II of the New Poor People's Campaign. We don't have to be on a soapbox or in a pulpit, actual or virtual. But we all have a voice. Sometimes to prophesy means simply not being silent, not being apathetic. Silence implies consent, we sometimes say, speaking of a concept of social interaction where people tend to assume that lack of response to an action means tacit approval of that action. So we must be clear where we stand. And we are each called to speak and act from our own particular places of being. So for me, I must prophesy as a Christian and pastor, as a white person, as a woman, as a New Yorker, as a financially secure person, as a U.S. citizen with immigrant forebears. You get the idea. And many, not all, but many of those things on my list are places of privilege. I can't pretend I don't have privileges. I must acknowledge and use my privilege for the common good. As a white woman, then, I must condemn the white woman who called the police on a fellow New Yorker who is also black and male, because, as a CNN editorial put it, the story of the white woman who called the police on an African-American man who was birdwatching in Central Park and who asked her to leash her dog in accordance with park rules, is about racism, yes, but it's also about how racism is more than just whites' hostility toward people of color. Racism is more than a feeling. It's a system in which white people can and do exploit their own social positions, assumptions about their innocence, and the presumption that they're telling the truth. And we know what could have happened, and thanks be to God, didn't. Because we know what can happen to black and brown people when the police or self-appointed vigilantes show up anywhere in this nation. George Floyd, killed by police brutality in Minneapolis. Ahmaud Arbery, shot and killed while jogging near his home in Georgia. Breonna Taylor, shot and killed in her home in Kentucky. And they're just the most recent. incidents. Oh, my dears. God has given us a spirit of wisdom and compassion and hope and courage. So let's prophesy and never be silent ever, even about the smallest seeming things. When a coworker makes a racist so-called joke, or a family member forwards a misogynistic or homophobic email, don't just roll your eyes and shrug. Call them on it. Be clear, they don't speak for you. And we must be equal opportunity prophets, whether we encounter racism in a neighbor, or, which is sadly just as likely, from the White House. And yes, let's pray for victims of institutionalized hatred and their families, and for the perpetrators. But not because, oh, they're ignorant, misguided people. We should pray that their hearts be cleansed, but at the same time condemn the evil of their actions and the evil of a society that spawns such actions. And let us stand with the victims. Do you remember after 9/11? All the signs that proclaimed, "United we stand." And just recently, all the healthcare workers who came to New York City, then the epicenter of COVID-19, to help us. I find comfort and courage when it feels like the entire country stands with this city it often vilifies. How will we publicly, prophetically stand united with the victims of racial violence, whatever our race or place is? And how will we work to end the embedded discrimination and double standards which abound in our society and foster a culture of hatred and greed and fear? Voting is always good. Calling your elected officials. Calling out companies when they do the wrong thing and thanking them when they do the right thing. You can think of lots of ways, I think. You know, I miss y'all. I miss the church. I am sad that we can't be all together in one churchy place right now. But I hope we are together in this place, this sacred space of speaking and praying and acting, until, in the words of another prophet, Amos, justice rolls down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Until, in the words of the prophet Jesus, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For God has poured out God's Spirit upon all flesh. So may the Spirit be with us. And may we be with the Spirit. Amen.